tell you, it is fantastic to be back. So glad to be back with the brethren here at North Jefferson. Last week was amazing. We had such a good time, and not just in the sense of we played and had fun, but we had some fantastic Bible study as well. Wanted to give a little bit of an overview of how camp went. That is our official logo for camp, drawn by Daniel McCary last year, and I added the leadership part at the bottom of it. He can lead singing, he can do devotionals, he can pray, he can draw. Man, Daniel, you are a jack of all trades. Well, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. So, but Daniel's a talented guy. But we had a fantastic week last week. We had a fantastic staff. We ended up having 32 Bible lessons throughout the week. The top left picture is one of Chris's sessions. I believe that was his evangelism class, which was phenomenal. And then I think the bottom one is me teaching one of the classes. It was mediocre at best, I'm sure. This was exciting. We had 12 boys at camp. 11 of those boys did devotionals on Thursday nights. And you may recognize a few of them. You know, the top right, third over, Caden Grota. Caden likes to do devotionals. One I'm real proud of. Third from the bottom on the left, that is Brendan Birchie. He did a devotional, did a fine job. Let's encourage him. I think he's got some potential, and let's focus on him. The girls did devotionals earlier in the evening. We split our services at church, but we have split service and then we come together. And the girls did their devotionals during the split service, and I didn't get to do anything cute with the pictures because I did that on my phone, and I wasn't there for the girls' devotionals. So, but our girls did devotionals. Holland did a devotional. Caitlin did a devotional. Kinsey led a song. We had a Christina, I think, did a devotional. We had a really good week. His leadership camp, and we had 24 campers, and out of those 24 campers, 22 of the campers led a song when given the opportunity, and 19 of them gave devotionals on Thursday night, and 6 did devotionals for the very first time. Yeah. The first time they ever got up in front of anyone was at camp, and what that tells me is that we have created an environment conducive for energy, that I'm going to try something new. I feel like I can step out, and I'm not going to be made fun of, and it's a great atmosphere to have. The camp session also resulted in 2 baptisms on Wednesday at camp, and Christina was baptized this morning. Now, granted, they've been studying for a long time with Christina, but at camp she really talked to one of the counselors, and me and Daniel talked last night, had a Bible study with her this morning. So glad to have another sister in Christ, but we had 3 baptisms out of that. So we consider, what made camp special? What makes the camp special is that we are surrounded with like-minded individuals. I like that. I like being surrounded with people who are excited about God's Word. And why do I like to spend so much time with Michael and Cade? Because they laugh at my jokes. No, because they are excited about their Christianity. I love spending time with Ashley and Sean. I love spending time with everybody. You want to be around people who are going to encourage you to grow. Who you know, I can try something new and I'm not going to be made fun of. I want to try something different. I want to have a different idea. And that's what's fun about being a minister, is say, I wonder if this would work. And having people that say, if you'll run with it, I'll help you. I'll do it. That's how this camp even came into existence. Surrounding ourselves with Christians. Singing week about 15 years ago, where Michael and Cade and Perry and Joanna went, singing week up at Green Valley. I was at that session about 15 years ago as a counselor. And the director of the session, Tony Linton, created an extra verse to one of our songs, where he said, here at Green Valley, it's easy to be a Christ-like example. That's what you'll see. And the emphasis was, it's easy to be a Christian at Green Valley, but what happens when you leave Green Valley? What happens when you leave church camp? And what I would encourage us all to do is utilize that mentality. Surround yourself with people that are going to help you to get to heaven. the result of surrounding yourself with the saints. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. A great way to live a short and miserable life is to read the Proverbs and to do the opposite. You want to live a short and miserable life, read the Proverbs and do the opposite. Just like spending time with the wise can impact us positively, spending times with fools can and will impact us negatively. We need to be around people who are wise, and that's not just in the church setting. We don't want to be around, how many of us like to work with dummies? I mean, work with people that want to do bad stuff or don't have the sense to come in from the rain. How many like to be around those types of people? I want to be around people who are better than I am. The joke that I make, it's not really a joke, it's the truth, is at my session of camp, I surround myself with people that are smarter than I am, that have more wisdom than I have. And I surround myself with those people because not only is it a benefit for the kids, it's a benefit for me. It's a benefit for me. I believe Ashley was sitting out there. We had Jim Laws, who he taught public speaking to the senior students or senior campers. And Ashley can account for this, is during the first session, I was practically giddy. I was getting fed, and I liked it. He had wisdom that he was sharing, and I enjoyed it. I was a little giggly, wasn't I? I was excited. I looked forward to that. And Jim did a fantastic job. Chris taught the juniors. He taught them public speaking every day as well. In this verse, Solomon warns us against spending our time with those who drink, eat, and sleep too much. And his point is that these people lack self-control, and their irresponsibilities will rub off on us if we spend too much time around them. Let me tell you, I love the 4th of July. I love the 4th of July. I love fireworks. They're pretty and they're loud. That's fun. You get to be outside and borrow some of Keeley's magic mosquito spray. I mean, so you don't get eaten up. I like those types of events. But those types of things shouldn't keep us from church services. Those kinds of things shouldn't cause us to forget that we're Christians and to do things that Christians shouldn't do. Countless people have wrecked their lives by connecting with the wrong crowd. The result of surrounding yourself with saints can be the difference in an eternity in heaven and an eternity separate from God. There are clear advantages to choosing the right friends. Like to apply the treehouse rule. Make Christians your best friends and make your best friends Christians. That is one I will say for years. It is an excellent modern day proverb. Clear advantages of choosing the right friends is that wise counsel that we talked about. Where there is Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Sometimes we take a denominational view and say, well, if I'm going to get counseling, I need to talk to the preacher. I need to get a hold of JJ, or I need to get a hold of Chris. And while I like that, I'm sure Chris does as well. If you're wanting wisdom and you're wanting advice, talk to our elders, Weldon, Grady, and Hal. They have forgotten more good things than I know. And they want to help the brethren that are here. Surround yourself with people that will help you. When you surround yourself with the right people, you will receive the right feedback when you bounce ideas off of them. I use people to bounce off ideas, and let me tell you, for every one good idea I have, I've got about 15 that are rotten. Cindy, amen. Cindy's amen, and Ashley, amen. That's right. But I want to find different ways for us to reach out, and some ideas just aren't very good. So I talk to people I know that have wisdom, that can say, you know, that's a good idea, that's not a good idea. It's So we go to our elders when we have different works we're wanting to be involved with. Say, hey, I'd really like to do this. And they're going to be able to reflect on their experience, their years of diligent study in God's Word, and be able to say, you know, this could be good, or what if we did something different? We need to surround ourselves with wise counsel. Said in another way, when you are around the right people, you have a better opportunity to hear the right things. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 22, good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The instruction of fools is folly. Get advice from smart people. There's no other way to put that. If you're going to seek godly advice, talk to someone who's godly. Man, that's basic stuff. I feel like I can just drop the mic. I mean, it's if you want good advice, talk to someone who is wise. Turn with me over to 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to see what type of destruction can come by not heeding the advice of the wise. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, we are going to see that Rehoboam had every opportunity to do something that was going to help God's people. Yet instead, he did something foolish. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. And he said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. It was his father's counsel. We'll see what happens in verse 8. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke, for the father put it on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to this people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. He had the opportunity to keep Israel together. The older men gave him sage advice. They gave him good advice to follow. But he turned to people his own age. He turned to people that had grown up with him, what I assume were yes men, and gave him horrible advice. My beautiful bride has so much wisdom. Sometimes she tells me, JJ, why don't you act your age? I'm like, this is the oldest I've ever been. Should have sought and listened to his father's counsel. What ended up happening is he took the advice of the ignorant council and it caused the kingdom to split. 10 tribes, the northern tribes, separated from Judah. And the tribe of Benjamin eventually joined Judah. Now, the seed line could stay intact through Rehoboam. His decision put them in a situation where those 10 tribes never had a good king. Jeroboam, one of the first things he instituted was idolatry. They never had a good king of Israel. They were attacked and they were taken away. How much better would it have been for God's people if Israel had stayed united, all the tribes? But his decision to not seek wise counsel was detrimental to not only him, but to generations that followed. When we consider clear advantages to choosing the right friends, we have character protection. Character protection. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Paul is writing to a corrupt Corinth, and he's not mincing words here, is he? Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. The church in Corinth had allowed unruly conduct to spread like wildfire. And remember, they were in Corinth, a nasty place. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, he runs through a laundry list of sins that they were guilty of, and he said, such were some of you in verse 11. They had done all those things, but they stopped doing those things to become Christians. Just because they stopped doing those things sure didn't mean that the society around them stopped either. He was telling them, work together. He was clear that if you associate with corrupt people, you will eventually be corrupted. An example that I like to use, and I've used in classes before, is I will take out a chair and have someone stand on the chair. And I walk up and give them my hand and I say, pull me up on the chair with you. Which is kind of funny because I'm huge. And they tug and they pull and they give it their best. And then I grab their hand and yank them down with ease. I've got gravity on my side. 32 feet per second is how far gravity pulls down. I'm able to pull them down pretty easily. And unless we have a strong resolve, we can easily be pulled down by those who are around us. We look to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Some friends will try to convince you to do things that are not following the biblical pattern. And some of them may claim to be Christians as well, but their words are empty. Their words are hollow. Any words that are separated from the Word of God are hollow, pertaining to eternity. And all the words you take from God are words of wisdom, but the plans of the follow men can tarnish your reputation. When we decide that we want to listen to these hollow words that pull us away from being a good example, it will tarnish our reputation. We need to be a people who are above reproach. So that if anyone does say something bad, people around will say, oh no, not them. Not him, not her. I know that they are Christians. Another clear advantage to choosing right friends, surrounding yourself with saints, is you remain sharp. You remain sharp. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I really can't get over how good the lessons were last week. We had Jim Laws teach classes, Chris Grota teach classes, Jesse Martinez, Stephen Gonzalez, Shane Gonzalez, Clayton Westbrook, Preston McElyea. On the ladies' side, Cindy, Lena, and Ashley taught classes. Let me tell you, those girls were fired up when they would come to meet up with us. I just quit asking, was it good? Because you could tell how they were acting. You could tell when they were coming up, they were fired up. Take a moment to say how talented the members at North Jefferson are. We had so many excellent teachers. You have lessons that apply to your life. It can sharpen you. Having a brother or sister in Christ that will say, maybe this isn't the best decision you should make. Let's look at the Bible. It keeps us sharp. You know, I was going to make a sermon out of this, and I probably still will, but the reason that a pencil looks sharp is because nobody's used it. pencil that's all sharpened, you can tell nobody's used it. They haven't done anything. We need to be a people who are constantly being sharpened, who are constantly being better, who are constantly striving for the goal of going to heaven. A true godly friend can help keep us sharp in spirit, letting us know when we're getting off track. And we all need that. We all need that. Let's look to Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Job was known as a wise man who people sought his advice. And while he had some knuckleheaded friends, one of them, Eliphaz, did say something that was smart. In Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "Behold, you have instructed many, and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees." Job was a man who was known to give good advice. He was known as a man who could help keep those around him sharp. Yet in his time of need, the advice from Eliphaz and his friends wasn't very good. There are so many different ways that we can strive to be like Job. But I would encourage us to be a friend like Job in the sense that he gave good advice. The clear advantages to choosing the right friends is that we remain sharp, that we remain on guard, that we continue to grow in our Christianity. I love the Bible study that Daniel and I had with Christina this morning. We said, you are going to be on fire for God. You're going to be excited. Give us ideas. Let us know what you're wanting to do. Because when you hear kids at camp get fired up about their Christianity, it gets you fired up too. We could ask Martha and Ashley. They had the oldest girls. Lena and Cindy had the middle group. We can ask them what it was like to be back in the cabin after a day full of solid Bible lessons. And before the girls probably melted into sleep, I imagine they were excited. Surround yourself with saints. Surround yourself with Christians that will give you good advice, that want to protect your character, and they want you to stay sharp, not giving you hollow words that will pull you away from God. Surround yourself with Christians who are going to want to help you to go to heaven, not to water down the Word of God, but to solidify your faith. We have an urgent need for visionaries. Be someone who is willing to give good counsel, but also be someone who's willing to surround yourself with good counsel. This evening, if you are hurting in any way, if you are stumbling, if you need the prayers of the congregation, there's no shame in that. Get the help that you need. If there is something that is causing your Christian walk to not be as it should, come forward. I had the opportunity to have one of the boys that was baptized in my cabin. And as he laid in his bunk, I looked over and said, "You're going to sleep better tonight, aren't you?" He's a quiet fellow. He smiled real big and he said, "Yeah. Yeah, I am." Imagine we can ask Christina Cochran, "How are you going to sleep tonight?" "I'm going to sleep better." Knowing that you're in a right relationship with God can help you to pillow your head at night better and will encourage you to help others to improve in their walk as well. But if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to make the most important decision that you can possibly make. Look at the chart. This isn't our ideas. This isn't a Church of Christ creed, because we don't have that. Everything we do goes along with the Bible, no more and no less. God has done His part. He sent His Son. Jesus shed His blood. And the Spirit revealed the Word that all of us have an opportunity to read, especially here in America. Got it on our phones. Got it in our hands. We can get the Bible anytime that we want it. God has done His part. We have to do our part. You've got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10, verses 13 and following. You must believe, as John 3, 16 states. You must repent, as Christ said in Luke 13, 3. Repent, or likewise perish. You must confess that Jesus is Lord, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And as we're told in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, to confess with your mouth and you'll be saved, and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. While all of those things are what you must do, it is at baptism where your sins are washed away. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, is at baptism is where you walk in a newness of life. That is where the newness of life starts. Not because there's anything magic in the water, but because we've been commanded to do so. It's not a meritorious work. I don't do that to get favor. I am baptized because I am commanded to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, now corresponding to this, the greatest water event in the world, the flood, baptism, now saves you. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You can't leave any of those out. And Scriptures prove that. And then we must remain faithful. If you're having trouble remaining faithful, get the prayers of the congregation. Surround yourself with saints. But if you aren't a Christian, make it right tonight. Become a Christian. Become part of the one church that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Whatever spiritual needs you may have, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.